Let's discuss diversity, why it is important, and how to address it. Hello, and welcome to the 193rd episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you can jump up and down and yell, "Yes, I'm in!" And you're not only going to be in, but in at the best program for you. Now, in reviewing our stats for last year, I noticed that one of the most visited pages is an article on writing about diversity, which I'll link to from the show notes at accepted.com/193. That's not particularly shocking news, since we as admissions consultants are so frequently asked by stressed, panicked clients from well-represented groups in the applicant pool, how can I answer this diversity question? Given the high interest in the topic, not to mention the anxiety associated with it and the confusion surrounding it, I decided to discuss diversity today and go into more depth than we could on a blog post, or perhaps even a series of blog posts. So here are the questions for today's show. I'm going to ask them, and I'm going to answer them. So I'm going to be the host and the guest today. The questions are, first, why is diversity important in graduate admissions? Two, how can you approach diversity? Basically, I'm going to provide different ways to think about diversity, and also many, many ways that you can perhaps show it, even if you're not from what's classically considered an underrepresented group. And finally, how to write such that you will automatically or be more likely to show that you're showing diversity or adding to the diversity of the class. Now, I'm discussing a lot in today's show, and as usual, you will find the show notes for today's podcast on our blog. The specific URL for the show notes is accepted.com/193. However, in addition, we've created a Dimensions of Diversity checklist, and you can download that at accepted.com/193download. Again, that's Dimensions of Diversity Checklist, and you can download it from accepted.com/193download. That's all one word, no spaces. And it's also linked to from the show notes if you can't get it from the URL I just gave. So the first of the three questions is, why is diversity important? There are two primary reasons that diversity is important. Number one, it is generally believed, and I believe there's solid research supporting it, that the more diverse perspectives you have in a classroom, the richer the discussion in class and study groups, and the more creative teams are on projects. The more exposure all members have to varied approaches and perspectives, the more prepared they will be for working in a multicultural society and world. Admissions offices believe that diversity in the classroom improves the educational experience of all students in that classroom. That's the fundamental belief that's driving the questions about diversity and the push to create diverse classes. But there's another reason. That's number two. American society, and indeed many, many societies, are increasingly heterogeneous. They are increasingly diverse. The world is more global and multicultural. Many professions and employers want a diverse workforce. Medicine recognizes that a heterogeneous workforce benefits people from cultures heretofore underrepresented in medicine, and therefore usually not getting the same access to medicine and medical care. Businesses realize that they will market more effectively if they can speak to different audiences and markets because members of their staff knows that culture, knows that language. And I don't mean just the technical meaning of knowing the language. Schools simply want to prepare graduates for the 21st century job market. So there's a belief that admissions officers, by creating diverse classrooms, are enriching the educational environment that they provide students, and they're also better preparing them for the job market when they exit school. So that's why diversity is important, those two reasons. Number two, how can you approach diversity, even if you are not from an underrepresented group, a classically underrepresented group? Well, I'm so glad you asked. There are so many ways, really an infinite number of ways that you can think about diversity, but I've broken them down into three primary categories, and I'll provide a bunch of examples for each one. First, the three-part framework. Identity, that's who you are. Deeds, what you've done. Ideas, how you think. Again, identity, deeds, ideas. Those are the three lenses that you can use to think about diversity. As we go through each of them, you'll quickly realize that there is overlap in this framework. The three topics are not mutually exclusive, and you may argue with how I classify some of my suggestions. That's fine, and the framework isn't the point. The purpose of the framework is just to get you thinking more broadly about diversity and how you can show it, especially if you're from a majority or overrepresented group. So if you want to quibble with me about some of my classifications, that's fine. Just use the ideas and the concepts to write better essays and get yourself accepted. Okay, number one, your identity. That's who you are. This is the most common way that people think of diversity, and it certainly is a valid one in admissions. The underrepresented minority applying to many top graduate programs almost by definition is increasing diversity in the class and bringing an underrepresented perspective. But again, let's think more broadly about identity and showing diversity. Here are several options. Okay, let's get out of the way. The first one, the most obvious one, the underrepresented minority. In the U.S. context, that's African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Native Americans. However, that's a very narrow definition of diversity, and there are other groups, other ethnic groups that are also underrepresented. So you could be coming from a country or culture that's not well represented in grad school or in the particular program that you are applying to, and you're not necessarily an underrepresented minority overall, but still, your background will contribute to diversity. A particular religious commitment may mean that you are from an underrepresented minority. For example, several years ago, I was invited to the Indian School of Business to attend a conference for admissions consultants, and we went to a reception with several students from ISB, and one of them was a Buddhist monk from Japan. And he definitely was contributing to the diversity at ISB, and he probably would have contributed to the diversity of almost any top MBA program anywhere but Japan, because they are definitely underrepresented in business schools. So his religious commitment in this case was a major diversity point. What if you have a non-traditional educational background? Here are some examples. The music major applying to medical school, or the bio major going for a master's in management. The engineer deciding to go for a PsyD. Please note, these are all real examples, by the way. Please note that the diversity element doesn't relieve you of the need to meet academic requirements, fulfill prerequisites for the programs that you're applying to. Okay, so if you're a medical student and you're a music major, that's great, but you still have to fulfill all the science requirements and get good grades in those classes and, of course, do well in the MCAT. Non-traditional work experience, that can also be a diversity point. So the social worker, MSW, or software engineer who wants to become a physician. The pre-med who decides entrepreneurship is her calling and applies to business school. The actor who decides to go into law. Your work experience, if you portray it well, can still be valuable in your future career. But it definitely is distinctive and would add an element of diversity to the classroom. Disability and overcoming it is also unusual in the applicant pool, and it's difficult. So how has that process strengthened you? How has it perhaps guided your career choice? How will it allow you to be a better whatever you want to be, if it's relevant? Multicultural background. Perhaps your parents, like mine, came from two different countries and their native languages were different, such that English was the language in your home. And when relatives came to visit, it was hard to find a language that everyone had in common. That was not unusual in my house growing up. And again, it did change my perspective a little bit. Exactly how in relevance to your career path or your educational choices would be something for you to explain. But that's, again, it's a diversity point. Gender or sexual orientation. Are you a woman in engineering, a male in a traditionally female occupation? That would also be a diversity point, an element of your identity that distinguishes you. Are you the first member of your family to attend college? Your parents, like mine, who did not attend college, may have been very supportive of your applying, but not as familiar with the system as parents who had previously been through it. There are also parents who didn't attend college and perhaps can't afford to support their offspring's efforts, or simply don't value education because they've been productive adults without that education. Again, a different experience and perspective, and one that would allow you perhaps to show some diversity. So again, the number one element in the framework was your identity, who you are. Number two element is your deeds, what you've done. Leading that list is accomplishments. Now, accomplishments are a great way to distinguish yourself, but if you are applying to highly competitive programs, it can also be perhaps the most difficult way because everyone is accomplished. And achievements in your field and in academics are more a ticket of entry than a diversity point. However, accomplishments outside the field you're aiming for, in addition to those in your field, those are gold. Are you applying to any graduate program outside of the arts as an accomplished concert pianist? Again, for any field outside of sports and kinesiology, an impressive track record, pun intended, in team or individual sports is valuable from a diversity perspective, especially if it isn't a common sport or your achievement is truly unusual. All right, so that's accomplishments. Closely related to accomplishments is overcoming challenges. Challenges come in many forms, and we all deal with them. But there are little challenges, the everyday kind, and big ones. I'm talking about the big ones, the life-derailing ones that really throw you for a loop. What happened? How did you deal? How did you grow? What did you learn? How will these lessons guide you in the future if relevant? So again, not finding a parking space can be a challenge, especially in Los Angeles, but it's not the kind of challenge you're going to write about. It's not a life-derailing, throw-you-for-a-loop challenge. You're going to talk about something much bigger than that, which is not shared by 90% of other applicants, or 99%. Leadership experiences. Leadership with impact is absolute gold in admissions. Now, in some fields, it is more common, so you may say, I think correctly, that it's not a diversity factor, but if your leadership experience is unusual, then it may still qualify. Community service. There are so many ways to contribute to your community and so many ways to define community that your specific experience has to be unique to qualify as a diversity point. When you're writing about community service, if you believe that yours qualifies as a diversity point, focus on the singular aspects of that experience and how you changed and how your perspective changed as a result of this experience. At the same time, make sure that you highlight your contributions, the impact you've had, and perhaps some of the results of your participation. And I mean, not just to you, but to the organization itself. Military leadership is another form of diversity. Obviously, outside the military, that's, it's already unusual. And it implies significant responsibility, frequently in dangerous situations where lives, assets, and relationships are at stake. The military also teaches teamwork and logistics. Again, depending on where you're applying, if you're applying to Westwood or some graduate program at Westwood or in a military academy, obviously military leadership is not going to distinguish you. But if you're applying to business school or medical school or many other schools in the general population not associated with the military, then it definitely would be a diversity point. Make sure that when you're writing about your military experience, that you're writing about it in terms of the values and lessons that translate to civilian life. And watch the acronyms and the military jargon. Another potentially deed-oriented diversity point could be professional or internship experience. Increasingly important for all professional schools and relevant research for research-oriented programs, internships and professional experience sometimes aren't distinguishing factors. So, for example, the mere fact that you've worked 4 years when you're applying to MBA programs doesn't distinguish you. What you did or accomplished might distinguish you. But if you worked for 4 years outside the medical field and you're applying to med school, then what you learned in your work or the skills you nurtured or the insights you garnered, those could definitely be diversity points. Hobbies could also be diversity points, depending on what they are, specific research experience, athletics and sports, I think I mentioned, teamwork skills in unusual settings, could be diversity points. Travel, depending upon where you went and what you did and how long you did it, could be diversity, could add to the diversity of your profile and allow you to add to the diversity of your class. And if you worked your way through college, that could also be a diversity point, and how you did it, how you managed your time so that you could do that. It's very difficult to do. So those are some ideas of the way that deeds can enable you to show diversity in your application. And the last element is ideas. Your thoughts. How do you approach things? Are you an innovator, an ideas person? Do you tend to approach things differently and creatively? Are you a problem solver? Or perhaps are you driven by a particular philosophy or theology? All these are examples of the way you think and how you approach the situations, problems, opportunities, or simply life, will be distinctive and could add to the diversity of your classroom, your school, or your community. Here are a few examples of how your ideas could contribute to diversity beyond what I just mentioned, and some in addition, a little bit of repetition, but not too much. What if you have a background in big data that's not so common? It's increasingly valued. It's the way you approach things. Very quantitatively, very data-driven. And again, it could be valued both in any kind of research-oriented, you know, clinical medicine, business, definitely. Another perhaps approach that could be valued is, are you the kind of person who has the ability to look at details and still retain the bigger picture? Are you the person who doesn't lose the forest for the trees? You keep both in view. That's actually a fairly unusual skill. You'd obviously have to provide examples of it. Perhaps you are motivated by a specific philosophy or perspective on life. Again, that could be a diversity point. You'd have to go into how it influences you and not just give a discourse on the philosophy, but bring it down to your actions and your behavior. Are you really good at qualitative analysis? Again, not that you ignore the numbers or the data, but assessing things more, again, in a non-quantitative way. Or perhaps you're the person who comes up with off-the-wall ideas, or should I say superficially off-the-wall ideas, that on closer examination look feasible, and on even closer examination look great. My husband actually falls into that category. I mentioned, are you a problem solver? Before, let's move on. Are you the person who finds the element of humor that dissolves tension in group settings? Some people are just really good at that. When people are tired and cranky, maybe it's late at night and they're, you know, two people arguing over the right approach to take. Are you the person who can find an element of humor and then just diffuse the whole thing and get everybody back to work so they can finish up and go home? Are you the person who finds common ground in contentious situations, closely related to what I just mentioned, but not the same thing? You're a bridge builder. It's not so much humor or diffusing tension. It's finding the common elements that enables people to work together. Or perhaps you take an approach that blends the liberal arts and the sciences. For example, narrative medicine, musical engineers. You're an engineer by day, but you play in a band by night. Now, I realize I've given you a lot of possibilities here. Again, identity, deeds, ideas. At the same time, I also know this list isn't in any way, shape, or form exhaustive. Yes, Virginia, there are still other ways to show diversity that I haven't mentioned, but the ones I have mentioned are a really good starting point for you. We've also created that checklist that I mentioned at the beginning, which will make it easy for you to review the suggestions I've made and, of course, to add your own. You can access the checklist at exhibit.com/193download. That's exhibit.com/193download, all one word. So once you've downloaded the checklist, you'll have 30-plus different ways to think about diversity to jumpstart your creative engines, your writing engines, and hopefully not be so flustered and flummoxed by the diversity question that you're facing. Now let's turn to the third question I wanted to discuss, and that is writing about diversity. How to write about diversity. Some schools may ask you to discuss how you think of diversities. Others may ask how you will bring or add to the diversity of their school, your community, or your chosen profession. Whatever is asked, make sure that you answer the specific question posed and that your response highlights the distinctive you that you will add to the class mosaic every admissions committee is trying to create. They look at a class as a canvas or a mosaic, and each student is adding to an overall picture. Think of impressionist paintings with their dabs of paint. Think of mosaics. That's how they're approaching the process. So you don't want to blend into the applicant pool. You have to be, while showing that you fit at the school, you also have to show that you have something distinctive you're going to be contributing. A possible approach to diversity question: define diversity in the way that will be easiest for you to address the topic and address the specific prompt. Then provide 1 to 3 examples, specifics, or anecdotes that show how you represent this form of diversity, how you're going to contribute or, again, address the question. And then balance the anecdote, the specifics, with analysis that ties your experience to the program you're applying to its values, its missions, and its mission, and perhaps your goals, or simply the best answer to the question posed. The analysis can consist of lessons learned, changes in your thoughts on diversity, and evolution in your approach to similar challenges, or some other way to show growth and, again, answer the question. It will frequently go in the conclusion, but doesn't have to. I hope you found these thoughts helpful in writing your diversity essay. Remember to download the free checklist. That's exhibit.com/193download so that you can have the diversity ideas in front of you when you sit down to write your diversity essay. Again, that's exhibit.com/193download. As usual, the show notes are on our blog at exhibit.com/193 if you prefer the longer form, but whatever you want. You can get it in either place. Listener, thank you again for joining me for Admission Straight Talk's 193rd episode. If you found the show worthwhile, please subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, alumni great doing great things, or just me like this one. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.